As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake Doctor's Orders. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
To coast in Canada, across North America, and around the globe of the World Wide Web, this is Raceline on the Raceline Radio Network, presented by Subaru. And Raceline is driven by the Subaru WRX and WRX STI, 11-time Canadian Rally Manufacturers Champion, and by the Subaru BRZ Sports Coupe, engineered to excite. Presented by our partners and good friends at Subaru Canada Inc., we are your national radio motorsport authority, the Raceline Radio Network. Eric Thomas, host and anchor. Lisa Pileski, our supreme commander in Raceline Master Control. Brian Clark is making sure all network lights are green and go for us. On the show this week, one of the biggest racing events in the land happens on the 25th and 26th of the month as Oshkosh Speedway Hamilton Brantford in AM 900 CHML coverage features the Northern Crate Nationals and the World of Outlaws Sprint Car Series, their only Canadian stop this year, the 9th annual Six Nations Showdown. NASCAR regular Casey Kane will race both. We're one-on-one with Casey to preview it all. Canada's premier dirt modified racer, Niagara Lake Stewart Friesen, securing a NASCAR Truck Series ride for Eldora later this month. Mini interview with Stewie to set it all up. Tony Stewart owns Eldora. He tells us about the proudest moment in his winless drought-ending cup win at Sonoma. Still counting down to the Toronto Indy, we talk to the man who sets it up, Mr. Jim Terrio. And we get to more of your entries in the Subaru Raceline Mailbag Trivia Contest. Your chance to grab the grand prize pack in the race wrap. Hamilton and Rosberg crash in Austria, but Lewis wins again. Brad Keselowski stays away from the wreckage under the lights of Daytona. And you can now listen in high definition. So for race fans across Canada and U.S. border states, powerful sport, powerful radio for 24 years. This is the Raceline Radio Network.
This is Jordan Zoke, and you're listening to Raceline Radio.
Master, what makes a man great?
Close your eyes and tell me what you hear.
I think I hear
Yes?
The rumbling of power, Master.
Oh.
Is that the thunder of destiny calling me to dig deep within to find my own strength?
No, my son, that's just Master Han and his 2017 Subaru WRX STI.
Hey, anyone need anything from the store? A gum?
The 2017 Subaru WRX STI.
Butter?
Nothing sounds like it. Nothing drives like it. Subaru, confidence in motion.
Did you hear about Frank? Arrested for drunk driving? I never would have thought he would make that mistake. He's got a great job and is a terrific dad.
Not all drunk drivers are the same, you know. They can be male or female, all different ages, come from all walks of life.
There are many types of drunk drivers. Some drink and drive rarely, while others do it all the time. That's why we have a variety of strategies to deal with them.
You know, a good friend of mine was charged, and she almost never drinks.
Speak your mind. ChangeTheConversation.ca.
The good people at Jack Links know a thing or two about perfection. And perfection is on full display with their new small batch jerky. Handcrafted and slowly smoked. With savory flavors like teriyaki and peppered, Jack Links small batch will leave you speechless. And probably crying tears of joy. Because it's good. So good. Sometimes the best things in life start small. Try the new small batch bacon jerky. Available in stores now.
Jack Link's beef jerky. Feed your wild side.
This is the ultimate must-have for motorcycle enthusiasts. Tissot is proud to present the T-Race MotoGP Limited Edition 2016 watch. This watch has the precision of the timekeeper, with chronograph functions resembling a bike dashboard and features such as the brake disc bezel and tire tread on the back of the bracelet. Available at your authorized Tissot dealer. For more information, visit TissotWatches.com. That's T-I-S-S-O-T Watches.com. Tissot, Swiss watches since 1853.
It's Raceline on the Raceline Radio Network, presented by Subaru, with all the news you may need to know on the Raceline Race Wrap. Raceline Radio Network news off the top, 16 stations strong we are, you know. 19 airings a week year-round, in excess of 175,000 listeners coast-to-coast. And now, new ways to catch this here program and high-definition FM. Sportsnet 590, The Fan Toronto, in addition to the 590 AM signal. You can now get us crystal clear at 92.5 FM on HD Channel 3. This will also help reinforce the Raceline signal reception in shaded and hard-to-reach regions. Hooray! Co-flagship AM 900 CHML Hamilton, though, has been using HDFM for months now. 95.3 on Channel 3, one of the first in the nation to do that. Love these reception improvements. Formula One, one of the grand old events, the Grand Prix of Austria, Red Bull Ring, Spielberg. England's Lewis Hamilton chased down and pass race leader, and Mercedes mate Nico Rosberg on the outside of Turn 2 of the very last lap to take the GP, but it wasn't a clean pass. Rosberg tried to block Hamilton, and the contact snapped off Rosberg's front wing. Mercedes boss Toto Wolff claims Rosberg had a brake problem, sure, but called the collision between his two drivers brainless, because it was. That's win number three this season for Lewis. He's won three of the last four, and he's moving strong. Footnote, F1 did penalize Rosberg 4 seconds, big deal, blaming him, though, in the contact with Hamilton. F1 points into the British Grand Prix at Silverstone. Rosberg's championship has been whittled down by Hamilton from 24 to 11 points. Lewis is coming hard, as we said. F1 file, Ferrari president Sergio Marchionne says super stoic Kimi Raikkonen needs to prove he deserves a contract extension for next year. Ferrari in no hurry to figure out who's going to drive alongside Sebastian Vettel next year. Marchionne says either he races like the world champion he is, otherwise, well, I'm confident he will. Ferrari, though, is winless so far this campaign. NASCAR Sprint Cup, just another crappy restrictor plate run at Daytona, Florida. And the big one, yeah, the big wreck happened on lap 90 when 19 cars crashed, 12 done for the night. Brad Keselowski avoided the carnage to lead 115 circuits for his third win of the season. 100 Sprint Cup Series win for Team Penske. Kyle Busch arrived second. Trevor Bayne, former Daytona 500 winner, was third. Cup points into Kentucky. Kevin Harvick, who was wrecked, scored a distant 39, still leads Brad Keselowski, and the distance is 14 in points. Cup stuff, still buzzing about Tony Stewart's surprise win at Sonoma, erasing a three-year winless drought. Most never heard what Smoke said was his proudest moment after the win. You will hear it now.
Probably one of the best parts, and one of the parts that I'll probably remember most of this race, was before I got to victory lane and Denny leaning in there, and the first thing he said is, I'm so damn proud of you. You know, that meant the world to me. I mean, I told him right after that, I said, you know, I had to do that. And he goes, I know. So, yeah. So, I mean, it just shows what kind of guys we're racing with, and the respect we all have for each other.
Well, you know, we now all know Smoke's affection for dirt track racing, so much so the Indianapolis Motor Speedway is building him a little midget car, clay bullring, in the infield as a going-away gift for his retirement from NASCAR. We also know Stewart owns Eldora Speedway, Rossburg, Ohio. Ties in with the news that Canada's hottest dirt track racer, Stuart Friesen of Niagara-on-the-Lake, has secured a NASCAR Truck Series ride for their Eldora Clash July 20th. Friesen tells Raceline Radio he's over the moon over it.
Yeah, for sure. You know, it's always been a dream and a goal to, you know, compete at that level. And, you know, when Chris Larson interest to do the deal at Eldora, I was really excited, and we just knew we needed to get the, you know, get the right people involved and with the right know-how and ability to put it together. So Billy Hess is going to be building the truck and putting it together in his shop.
Stu, have you driven on Eldora clay before?
No, I've never even been there before. So
okay.
We're going with the Super Dirt Series the day before. We're going to try to do a test. We're going to get an engine from the Earnhardt Childress, you know, shop. So that's cool. You know, figure out, you know, the ins and outs of the truck and just go and try our best. You know, I've watched some video and obviously watched the races there from the past couple of years, so it should be exciting.
Yes, it should be. Coming up on our second guest segment, staying with NASCAR, Sprint Cup's Casey Kane on his twin night sprint car adventure later this month at Oshweken Speedway, because it's dirt, not mud, and it's in your blood. NASCAR Xfinity Series at Daytona, Eric Almirola with a rare win. NASCAR Canada Series iCar Road Circuit, Mirabel, Montreal. Andrew Ranger dominates, leading all but one of the 30 laps, his 22nd series win. Alex LaBey second, Kevin Lacroix third, the Quebec squad with a good day at the airport. IndyCar idle into Iowa, could make a highly desired return to Queensland, Australia, surface paradise, and they could do it next year if an already approved Gold Coast-based consortium can successfully negotiate an agreement for a run. IndyCar not commenting on the potential to return to a place the drivers always arrive at early to take advantage of the outstanding beach life. The last race in Oz from 91 to 2008. Last win, Sydney native Brian Briscoe. Coming up in our second guest segment, Toronto Indy Operations Manager Jim Terrio. IMSA Sports Cars, Watkins Glen, New York. The Joe Barbossa anchored Corvette DP first overall. PC victory to Regier van der Zande's Chevy Orica. Canada's Kyle Marcelli second in PC. Nice work. GTLM won by the Richard Westbrook Canadian-built Ford GT. Their next show, Canadian Tire Motorsport Park, July 10. A preview in downtown Toronto at Yonge Dundas Square happens the afternoon of July 6th. Our rally news, a presentation of the Subaru WRX and WRX STI, creating those monster sales. Canadian Rally Championship presented by Subaru, the Rally Bay de Chaleur, New Richmond, Quebec for TSN 690. Joel Levac in his Mini WRC wins it. LeBlanc and LeBlanc second, Labrie and Labrie third, both aboard Subaru WRX STIs. Antoine Lestage soft rolled his sub on stage two, roared back, winning every stage after that, but just could not make up the 30-minute deficit. World Rally Championship, the Rally Poland, VW's Andreas Mikkelsen snatching away a dramatic second series win, that should be, eventually outpointing Ott Tanak in his Ford Fiesta on the second last stage. The pair battled hard all weekend long. Faces in the pits. Big Raceline Radio salute to former Fan 590 Toronto PD Nelson Millman, who has, he says, finally retired. Big send-off due for Nelson this week in Toronto. Raceline was there. A grand time had by all. I owe a lot to Nelson. Right after Alan Davis, who's now the PD at WGR Buffalo, took a chance and put Raceline Radio on the air in 1992. Nelson kept us rolling through some trying times. And here we are still on the air 24 years later. Thanks, of course, to loyal listeners like you and sponsors, of course. The current program directors have not told me to stop yet, so we're still here. Thanks initially to PDs like Davis and his pal Nelson Millman, who got it from the very, very beginning. Enjoy your retirement, Nelson. You certainly deserve it, and we love you. And that's all for this week on the Race Wrap. Questions, comments, always welcomed. Share ideas and thoughts with your fellow fans across the network. It could win you the grand prize in our Subaru Raceline Mailbag Trivia Contest. Your emails come up after a bit. All right, Lisa, the pit stop, please. But once back to green, how the place goes together with Toronto Indy Operations Manager Jim Terrio, then NASCAR's Casey Kane on his back-to-back sprint car assignment at Ashwiken Speedway. This is Raceline, presented by Subaru. See your local Subaru dealer for a performance drive today along the Raceline Radio Network.
This is Lewis Hamilton, and you're listening to Raceline Radio.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Raceline on the Raceline Radio Network. Eric Thomas talking at you. Check out our Raceline Radio Network Facebook page if you like. Show guest schedules are there. List of network affiliates, broadcast times, all listed. You can also follow us on Twitter if you dare at ET Raceline. Well, the countdown well underway, as you know, for the 2016 IndyCar Series Honda Indy Toronto, July 15, 16, and 17, Exhibition Place on the Lake in Toronto. Erecting the 11-turn temporary street course, the grandstands, and the accompanying infrastructure is the annual, well, almost, Herculean a task, always, assigned to a man who has handled it with aplomb since race one in 1986. Asking him what the biggest difference is between that first Toronto Indy and where we are today, operations manager, good guy, good friend, Jim Terrio, back with us on Raceline Radio.
So I'm thinking back to the first years when we built the track, three or four cranes, 15 trucks, 100 men. Now we're down to, we can build the track with two or three forklifts, three or four trucks, and probably 20 men doing the build of the actual track itself.
Yes.
So that has been a significant change over the years.
What allowed that, Jim? Was it stuff became more modular? Did the walls go together differently?
Yeah, you've hit the nail right on the head.
Yeah.
We've changed some of our fencing panels. We've changed some of our blocks, so it's a little easier to put together than it was. And I think in the first years, there's a whole learning curve that had to go on. Yeah. So, you know, once you get through that and... you know, we're trying to create, you know, new blocks, new panels that just go in like a jigsaw puzzle. Yeah.
Does the series always keep in touch with you to make sure that the fencing is okay, is not rusty, you've got the proper cabling?
Absolutely. Yeah. We work very closely with IndyCar and with any of the IndyCar contractors that they have. For example, next week we have a gentleman coming up from IndyCar. The owners will be here. Mm-hmm. I'll be here, Jeff, and we're actually doing the final layout of the new pit lane and the racetrack. So we've got it roughed in. We know what we're doing that way, but now we'll come down to the actual tweaking of corners.
Jim Theriault is the operations director for the Honda Indy Toronto. I think I got your title right. You don't have anything on your shirt here for me to read, so I have to go by memory. Changing the pits. I mean, we haven't had a wholesale change in this course since 86, but now the pits go to the other side, and they start sooner, too. Was that a big adjustment for you, Jim?
Oh, a large adjustment.
Tell me why.
We looked at every possibility we could to lay out where the pits would go, where they would fit. A new hotel going in, BMO Field expanding, the road work around Exhibition Place. So it is a significant change. It will be a bit of a challenge to set it up.
But that also sets up some new sight lines for the fans and the grandstands too, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah. You always take advantage of it. And we were able to put in grandstands into new places. We've got a grandstand overlooking the pit in area, which I think will be phenomenal. Yeah. And then we have two more grandstands, actually three going around the corner at 11, that'll give everybody another shot of the rest of the pits and the cars meeting from the racetrack and leaving the pits. It'll be fantastic.
Talking about the construction of the Honda Indy Toronto course at Exhibition Place in Toronto with Jim Theriault, the operations director. You also do the race at St. Petersburg. Can you borrow anything from each other? I mean, different streets, different city, different town. As I say, this course hasn't been changed a lot, really, since the beginning. Are you able to take some ideas from St. Pete and say, oh, that might work in Toronto or vice versa?
Yeah, we do. I mean, the handling of the blocks, the clamping system, which has been changed over the years, and the machine that puts them in. That machine is now adapted up to here from St. Petersburg. The way that we do our layouts and do our planning here, that has bled back into St. Petersburg. So it is back and forth, and we do learn from each race.
About how many man hours does it take to set this thing up from the time the first trucks arrive with the first components to the time you're ready to get the first practice for IndyCar out here? Do you ever count the number of man hours?
You've got anywhere from 100 to 150 men working here for, say, 9 weeks.
Is it around the clock, Jim, at night too?
No, at night we start at 8 o'clock, finish at 4 in the morning. We stay right away from all the traffic and, you know, the...
that's when you're putting the stuff down on the street.
Yeah. That's right.
Right.
But the grandstand guys work during the day. Okay. So, you know, you think about it, too, with the economy. I mean, you're hiring a lot of people.
Yeah, they are.
And these are tradesmen. These are Carpenters Union.
Unionized.
Yes, electrical. And some of them, that's their work for the year. So there's 9 weeks out of the summer that they have now got employment.
Now that's interesting too, because I was going to ask you, are there guys who have worked on this thing and will only work on this project?
Some of the contractors have guys, but they work on this project. They'll work on any project.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, especially in the Carpenters Union.
Yeah. When you when it's all done, do you get a chance? Do you do that? You sit back and say, okay, it's done, and everything's ready to go, and you can tell IndyCar that the course is ready. Is there that moment of satisfaction knowing the effort that goes into this every year?
There is a little bit of that, but the satisfaction comes on Sunday afternoon when it's all finished.
It takes about how long? Is it a month to get it constructed and a lot less to take down?
6 weeks to build it and 3 weeks to take it out. And then we're completely out of everybody's hair.
Jim, it's a pleasure. You and I have been friends a long, long time, and it's a marvelous job that everybody does here with you at the helm of it. Thanks so much for the time, and let's have a great weekend.
Yeah, thank you too, Eric, and keep up the good work.
Toronto Indy Veteran Operations Director Jim Theriault on Raceline Radio. The man is all this down to a science, so it's always been race-ready for the past 30 years. Heck of a good bloke as well. All right, Lisa, the pit stop before we spin another round of the Subaru Raceline Mailbag Trivia Contest. Then we go sprint car racing at Ashwiken with NASCAR's Casey Kane. This is Raceline on the Raceline Radio Network.
This is Brad Keselowski, and you're listening to Raceline Radio.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Raceline on the Raceline Radio Network is Canada's national radio motorsport authority, you know. I'm Eric Thomas. You're invited to check out my Thomas Tales blog on the Canadian Motor Speedway website and my Thomas Tales columns and Inside Track Motorsport News magazine and on the web on the Raceline page at sportsnet.ca. Away we fly once again with our Subaru Raceline email bag trivia contest. Your chance to win the grand prize pack. You have Subaru trivia questions to answer. Include those in your email of commentary to qualify to go into the break drum for the official draw to win the prize. The winning entry is drawn at random at the end of the on-track racing season in November, and the winner claims the prize pack loaded up with all kinds of good goodies from Subaru. New question as we get into July, but first, the answer to the old one, and this one handcuffed a few. We asked for the weight in pounds of the Subaru BRZ Sports Coupe equipped with a standard manual transmission or a stick shift, whatever you want to call it. And the basic weight of the automobile, forget trim packages and all that stuff, was 2,764 pounds. We had some just 1 pound away, but we had to have it exact. We have to have it exact. Okay, so the weight was 2,764 pounds. Let us stay with the Subaru BRZ. Thank you very much for all your entries. We're going to have a few more names come in because they're postmarked prior to me just announcing the answer. So we'll get to those in a little while. Let's stay with the BRZ Sports Coupe for the next question because the BRZ is the official Raceline Radio Network special event summer cruiser. Here we go. The four-cylinder Subaru Boxer engine that powers the Subaru BRZ Sports Coupe. Give me the peak horsepower of the motor and at what RPM is that achieved? I'm going to ask it again. I won't pop this time. Four-cylinder Subaru Boxer engine that powers the Subaru BRZ Sports Coupe. Please give me the peak horsepower and at what RPM is that achieved? All right. Use Eric at racelineradio.ca to get your email in here. You spell Eric with a capital E. A small K, never put a space between Raceline and Radio. Let us now go to the mailbag. And as I promised, Cindy Reed, Cynthia Reed in Richmond Hill, I started her message, but it was a long one and we ran out of time. So I wanted to continue on because she makes some good points here. She's in Richmond Hill, Sportsnet 590, the fan loyalist, and is a former grand prize winner in the contest. E.T., sad to hear that we've lost Catherine or Cat Teasdale. It's true. If memory serves me correct, E.T., I heard a radio interview with her many years ago when she had been injured in a crash and released from hospital. But the hospital called her back in a panic and told her to come back immediately because a radiologist going over her x-rays discovered that she had actually broken her neck. And the smallest turn of her head would have either killed her or left her paralyzed. I do remember this. It was believed she ended up wearing a halo for months, and she did. But in true Cat determination and style, she recovered and returned to race again. I'm sure her legacy will live on both racing and in her post-racing accomplishments. Yeah, we had her on the show, I think a couple of times, and we just lost her a couple of weeks ago, so kind of sad there. But Cindy remembers Cat Teasdale, as many do, and all hail and farewell to that young lady who didn't have the greatest success in the sport, but her determination was certainly admirable. Kudos, Cindy goes on to say, to Honda and James Hinchcliffe for producing the funniest, best commercials that you actually look forward to seeing. Racing hair. Need I say more? Well, you're working with Hinch, who has one of the best senses of humor in this game, so anything he's got his involvement in with Honda commercials or whatever it is, you're certainly going to get some good stuff, and it's probably a minimal number of takes with Hinch as well. Either that or he gets completely silly and blows the thing out of the water, but yeah, you're right. Those commercials are terrific. Cynthia says, I've been doing research on the trivia question since I got the incorrect answer. Looked up the official BRZ brochure. Okay, so I'm now really confused. It would appear there are three answers depending on what trim you choose. Well, we decided and told you we didn't need to get into that trim stuff with a manual transmission. And she had the answer correct. So this goes in because it's postmarked before I gave the answer. 2,764 pounds right out of the brochure for Subaru from Fuji Heavy Industries in Japan. So it's all legal, beagle, and official. That's the correct answer. She goes on and to conclude, keep up the great work covering motorsports, Eric, and the progress of Canadian Motor Speedway. Cindy Reed in Richmond Hill, we do thank her for her note. And she's a former grand prize winner, and that's another reminder, too, that... You know, it doesn't matter how many times you've won the contest. If you've won a prize pack, you can enter. You can enter as many times as you want. There aren't any restrictions on this thing. So, you know, make sure you get your entry in here. And we've got a brand new question. So let's get to that now. The one you need to answer to qualify to win the prize pack is this here one. The four-cylinder Subaru Boxer engine that powers the Subaru BRZ Sports Coupe. I need you to give me the peak horsepower of that motor. And at what RPM, revolutions per minute, is that achieved? Okay? Use Eric at RacelineRadio.ca to connect with your email, Eric spelled with a capital E and a small K. Let's do another pit stop, Lisa, if we can. Then NASCAR's Casey Kane on his double-barreled sprint car appearance that enclosed the World of Outlaws at Ashwiken Speedway. This is Raceline presented by Subaru. Test drive a BRZ Sports Coupe today for the ultimate in performance handling. This is the Raceline Radio Network.
Hi, this is Patrick Carpanti. We're coming right back on Raceline Radio.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Do not settle. Demand. Demand. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Canada's National Radio Motorsport Authority for 24 consecutive seasons. Raceline on the Raceline Radio Network, we call this thing, presented by Subaru. Eric Thomas, Lisa Pileski, our Supreme Commander, and Raceline Master Control Ryan Clark, manning the network functions for us. We love sprint car racing, always have. Loud, fast, sideways on dirt, not too many things better than that. The World of Outlaws series is the pinnacle of the sprint car game in North America, and they have only one race in Canada this year at Ashwiken Speedway, Brantford Hamilton, in AM 900 CHML coverage. But let's double it up for a very special guest driver. Monday, July 25 at Ashwiken, the Northern Crate Nationals will feature NASCAR's Casey Kane driving a 360 sprint car. Then the very next evening, Tuesday, July 26, the World of Outlaws are in for the 9th annual Six Nations Showdown, where Kane will compete in his own 410 sprint car. He also owns the team that fields Outlaws regulars Darren Pittman and Brad Sweet. So let's set it all up with the veteran Hendrick Motorsport NASCAR Sprint Cup driver, Casey Kane, on Raceline Radio. Casey, you got your start in the sport driving sprint cars, I think, when you were around 17 in your Washington home state. Was it always racing for you back when you were a teenager? Did you have interests in other sports?
I actually did. I played baseball and basketball and had a lot of interest in other sports, but all I really ever wanted to do was race, and since I was probably about 6-7 years old, I wanted to race pretty badly, and tried to talk my parents into it a bunch, and finally got to when I was 14, and then really when I was 15 is when I started.
Yeah, NASCAR Sprint Cup veteran with Hendrick Motorsports, Casey Kane, our special guest, coast to coast in Canada on Raceline Radio, talking about his drives coming up at Ashwiken Speedway, July 25th and 26th of the Northern Crate Nationals for 360 sprints, and then the next night the full-blown 410s in the 9th annual Six Nations Showdown, the only Canadian stop for the World of Outlaws series. Hired by Steve Lewis, who guided people like Jeff Gordon, Jason Leffler, and Tony Stewart, you advanced through the ranks, but in a pretty early age, you started right at the top, running against guys like Kinzer and Swindell with the Outlaws. You got involved with the top of the heap pretty early, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. My first year in full-time sprint cars, I raced with the World of Outlaws when they came through Seattle, through Washington area. Raced at our home track.
Yeah,
that was pretty cool. First time to race those guys, and did it a lot after that. I never raced a full season or anything like that, but I definitely hit a bunch of the races when we could as I was racing the midgets or any other type of car, but it was good. The Outlaws are always the toughest group to beat.
Yeah, yeah. Casey Kane on Raceline Radio. You eventually graduated, of course, to the NASCAR stock car side of the sport. We're all familiar with that, Casey, but you've never lost touch with your sprint car roots. Why is it important for you to maintain that connection, Case?
Well, I've always really enjoyed it, for one. I've enjoyed watching it. I've enjoyed doing it myself and then, being a part of it. So just to keep those teams, keep a couple World of Outlaw teams, a couple grassroots teams that travel all over and run into a ton of fans and meet a lot of people and just give our guys the best opportunity to go out and win races. I still just really enjoy it. I enjoy that type of racing a lot.
Yeah, yeah. You have to really muscle a sprint car to get it sideways smoothly in corners, but at the same time, it kind of takes a smooth, almost rhythmical approach to turn fast laps. I've never done it myself. You obviously have. Did that initially, though, form your baseline approach to the big, heavier NASCAR Sprint Cup cars? I mean, were you able to take anything that you learned in the sprint and apply it to the bigger stock cars?
Yeah, I think I was able to take a lot of things that I learned. I think overall, doing some pavement racing, Silver Crown cars probably as much as anything, was kind of, it was a heavier car. You had to worry more about the brakes and slowing the car down. So that was a little closer to a stock car, but, you know, sliding the car around, car control, feeling tires, you know, a lot of power, things like that, I think all came from 410 sprint cars, and that was a big part of my learning curve.
It's been demonstrated that Cup drivers who have dirt track racing experience, Casey, tend to be able to handle a loose Sprint Cup car on pavement tracks because they're used to having that back end swinging around. Would you agree with that analogy, or is it too broad-based?
I think it's pretty broad. I think that, you know, a lot of guys drive different styles, and, you know, and that just changes kind of the balance of the car.
Yeah.
The way you use your brake, the way you use your throttle and your steering, and when you use them over the top of each other or by themselves, you know, gives you a completely different feel of what your car is doing. If somebody else got in it, it might be a lot looser, a lot tighter to them.
Yeah, sure.
Because of the way that they, you know, use the pedals and things like that.
You have your own World of Outlaws team that'll be at Oshkosh in July 26th, Darren Pittman, Brad Sweet. Two guys that are always a threat to win. Add yourself into the effort that night. And the fact that this, as we mentioned, is the only Canadian stop for the World of Outlaws this year, everyone, including yourself, will want to put on a good show for the Canadian fans. Fans that you know, Casey, really love their sprint cars.
Yeah, and I've actually seen a lot of them already this year since we decided to come up there to Oshkosh.
Yep.
And they've already got their tickets. They're excited, looking forward to it. So I think it's going to be a great event. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm glad I get to race on Monday, kind of get some laps, get the feel for the racetrack, and then do the Outlaw show on Tuesday. I think it's going to be a blast. It's going to be a lot of fun. And, yeah, my guys are tough. Darren and Brad do a great job.
Yep.
They race all over the place, get a lot thrown at them, and their teams do a great job. So we just try to, you know, learn a little bit from them and do our own thing and really enjoy the weekend and hopefully have a great showing in Oshkosh. I've always wanted to race there. I think it's a neat track.
Yeah, that's great. It's going to be good to see you there. You don't do more than a handful of these every year, Casey. Are you what's called a quick study? You have the benefit of running the night before in the 360s. Are you a quick study when you're racing at a place that you've never raced on before?
You got to figure it out pretty quickly. I used to be a lot better at sprint cars when I was doing it more often. It seemed like, you know, today it takes a few laps to get the feel again and understand what I'm looking for. But, I think that Monday night I'll be able to figure out the track, and then hopefully, you know, by the end of Monday we'll be fast, and Tuesday we can have a great showing then as well.
Talk about adaptation. How do you approach the 360 sprint? Is it a lot different than the 410? I mean, I get asked this every once in a while. Any marked difference between the two, Casey, other than the fact that there's a slightly smaller engine and slightly less power?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is just the less power. I think you just drive a lot harder with a 360.
Right.
Not necessarily going faster, you're going slower, but you're driving harder because it has less power. Less throttle response. You don't have to worry about spinning your tires and things as easily. So I think a lot of those guys are able to just really try to run wide open a lot more, and that's one way to do it. But, you know, Oshkosh gets pretty slick in the stuff that I've seen, so I think you'll have to drive it a good bit, drive the car a good bit, and then the 410 race is always, to me, the best.
Because
you have to, the engines have so much power that you have to control it with your foot and understand where your tires are and if they're spinning or not.
Exactly. NASCAR Sprint Cup veteran with Hendrick Motorsports, Casey Kane, our very special guest on Raceline Radio, driving twice at Oshkosh Speedway, July 25 and 26, first in the Northern Crate Nationals, and then the next night, the ninth annual Six Nations Showdown, the only Canadian stop for the World of Outlaws series. I ask this of any NASCAR driver, Casey, IndyCar drivers as well, that even though we obviously have an overwhelming amount of asphalt track racing in North America, the dirt track stuff, the sprint cars, the dirt late models, the midgets, even the NASCAR trucks on the clay at Eldora, the dirt track stuff continues to flourish. Why do you think that is, Casey?
I think it's exciting. I think it's exciting for the fans. I think it's exciting for the teams and the drivers. And we have some great racetracks around the country, so you know, they put on good shows, and if there's some entertainment somewhere in your local area, you want to go watch that. So I just feel like it's a blast. It's cool. A lot of people enjoy it. You can relax and do whatever you want while you watch the race. And just kind of have a nice, relaxed evening.
And getting away from the NASCAR grind, I mean, you know, getting out to the smaller tracks, like you said, like Oshweek, and to fling some clay, have some fun, meet and get friendly with fans. It's a nice change of pace, isn't it? And I know you really do enjoy doing that.
Yeah, I enjoy it. I don't do it as much as, you know, I didn't hardly do it all for the last 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
But this year I've done it a little bit more. And yeah, it's nice. See a lot of people you haven't seen in a while and then meet new people also.
Casey, thank you so much for the time. We all look forward to seeing you run both events, July 25 and 26, at Oshweken Speedway for the World of Outlaws Craftsman Series at Oshweken. Stay safe and travel nicely, and we'll see you when you get here.
All right, sounds good. I'm looking forward to it. Thank you, guys.
There's the plan for July 25 and 26 at Oshweken Speedway when NASCAR's Casey Kane drives both sprint cars in the Northern Crate Nationals and the World of Outlaws 9th Annual Six Nations Showdown. Again, easily one of the biggest racing events in the country this summer. Go to Oshweken's website for all the details you might need to attend, and I will see you there. All right, Lisa, that final pit stop, if you would, please, and then we'll come back and set up next week's show and more on the last lap. This is Raceline, presented by Subaru, powered by the heart-pounding, turbocharged WRX-ST. TI on the Raceline Radio Network.
Hi, this is Richard Petty. We're coming right back on Raceline Radio.
Send us all your money. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, and we'll send you a free subscription for Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Absolutely free.
Raceline across Canada on the Raceline Radio Network. White flag is aloft, meaning we're on the last lap. So here's what we want to do for you next week. Even more Toronto Indy preview with annual hometown favorite James Hinchcliffe, who had to skip last year recovering from those injuries. Is this the year that Hinch finally handles Toronto? We'll also cover other major events across the network, as we always do. Ron Fellows will reflect on the IMSA weekend at his own Canadian Tire Motorsport Park. Clinton Jeffrey will jump in to pump the All-Canadian Classic at Humberstone Speedway, plus a few more of your entries in the Subaru Raceline email bag trivia contest. But when checkers fly, we say goodbye. Hugh Normus, Raceline thank yous, going out to Casey Kane, Tony Stewart, Jim Terrio, and Stuart Friesen. Thanks to Supreme Commander Lisa Pileski and Ryan Clark for ops from pre- and post-production, and to our Subaru Raceline mailbag trivia contest players and qualifiers. So from all of us at Raceline Radio, I'm Eric Thomas. So long, everyone. Raceline Coast to Coast on the Raceline Radio Network, presented by Subaru, has been driven by the Subaru WRX and WRX STI 11-time Canadian Rally Manufacturers Champion, and by the Subaru BRZ Sports Coupe, engineered to excite. Talk to you all again next week, right here on Raceline Radio.